opinions on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. I can't hear anything. Oh, good morning. Somebody turned us down here. Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, the Year Talk Radio. How about now?
Okay, there we go.
Okay, can you hear anything?
Hey, good morning, everybody, on this Monday. Poor Jared, this is what happens after people have been playing with the knobs. Good morning, everybody, on this Monday morning. How are you? Okay, go on with your spiel.
I got it. Today, the 26th of July, 7:06 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's at the helm. It's not Jared's fault. I think what happens is when Travis finishes up, when he cleans up in here, he just turns everything all the way down to zero.
All right.
And so, you know what?
I have no idea. I have one volume control in here that controls everything, and then the fine-tune is in there.
Yeah, right up in here.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, we're fine-tuning.
And that's what's going on.
It's Monday, and we are fine-tuning.
Good morning, buddy. And what day is it today, besides Monday?
It is Bagel Fest Day.
Bagel Fest, okay.
Bagel. You know what? That's always been... Can I just say this? Wherever I traveled, wherever I performed, I would get in my little, whatever I was traveling in, and go find lox and bagels. My favorite. And bagels are not all the same. All right, there you go. Anyway.
So what's the weather look like?
Hey, slight chance of showers today. Have I been feeling that? I'm none of those weird people that get the barometric pressure headaches. I've been feeling this thing in the air. So there is a slight chance of showers today with our temperatures around 100. A slight chance of thunderstorms, then slight chance of showers tonight with our overnight lows of 72. Tuesday calls once again for a chance of showers, high of 87. And Tuesday night, overnight lows of 71. Now Wednesday we're going to be hot with clear skies with 104, Thursday 106, and Friday 107. There we go with those temperatures again. Saturday 104 and Sunday 102. Now, as we know, every day that we print out the weather, though sometimes those forecast predictions do change somewhat with the moving patterns. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior, and veteran discounts.
Okay, Jared, we have fire updates here, buddy.
Oh, hang on one second. Here we go. Oh, shoot. It's a little far away from California. Let's see.
Let's talk about the Dixie Fire. That's up in Plumas County.
It's in Butte and Plumas County.
Yep.
And that is currently 192,000 acres and 21% contained. And that was updated 9 hours ago.
All right. And then the...
The bootleg fire
up in Oregon. I mean, that thing.
That's 400,000 acres right now. 409,000 acres. It is 53% contained, but as you said, they were seeing smoke in Chicago.
Well, the smoke had gone all the way to Chicago and New York.
Yeah.
From that fire, and then we just had some of our firefighters from California were sent to Montana. Montana's got a fire going too. You know this. I don't know what to do, or I don't know what else to say about the lack of prevention for these fires. Yeah, I understand everything's hotter. I understand the weather. I understand that, but I also understand that if you thin this out, it's going to slow it down. So,
Mention the utilities, like the bootleg fire. I believe it was caused because there was like 75-mile-per-hour winds, and the utility company didn't turn off the power during that time. So I think power line fell or something like that happened.
Something that started it. Now we've got thunderstorms, and thunderstorms mean lightning. Anyway, but let's go to something a lot happier.
Yes.
Jeff Wadley is with us, who is the director of the Reading Airports. Is that the term?
Yeah, I'm Jim Wadley.
Say Jeff? I'm sorry,
no
Jim.
Problem.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Airports manager for City of Reading.
Yep, I had it written right here.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning, Jim. I told you when I met you just recently that everybody whenever your name is mentioned, okay, whatever you're doing, great things are said behind your back. I think it's really important for people to know that, which means that people are really impressed with what you're doing, how you're moving forward with your management, the ideas that you're bringing. And I love, I just went to Reading, and I love the new logo, Fly RDD. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I do have a lot of ideas, and that's kind of, it's a blessing and a curse, because I can't shut it off. I'm always wondering why. I have that certain level of curiosity, and it's like, okay, why isn't this working? Or why does this work? And what can we do to move that over here?
Yeah. Well, you're going to give us a half hour today. So let's start with who Jim Watley is.
Oh, wow. That's a,
first of all, you just don't, like,
where do I start?
You just don't get beamed down, Scotty, to here. So, I mean, with this type of job.
Well, I can start way back if you want. So I was working two jobs and going to school full time, and I wanted to do something better with my life, and I was looking at the military, and I was working at Continental Airlines in Houston Intercontinental Airport, Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, and I saw a couple of guys walking around. They had some green badges. They could do whatever they want, and somebody was telling me, okay, that's air traffic control, and I started learning more about the other side of aviation rather than just the airline. And so I'm like, oh, air traffic control, I want to do that. So I started looking into it, and Air Force was my pick, because I always thought they were the smartest, and then Marine Corps was the toughest. So I was like, okay, those are my two I'm looking at. Air Force couldn't class me up for a year, and so I went right to the Marine Corps, and they said, hey, you get three picks, and you might get one of them. What do you want? I picked air traffic control, military intelligence, and then aviation mechanics. So I scored high enough. I could have anything I want, and I picked air traffic. And I basically, just did really well in that. I kind of thrived off the stress. And, I was stationed in Marine Corps Air Station Yuma for most of my time there.
And there's, how many flights go out of, and people don't realize this, because this is, it's Marine Corps Air Station.
Yep, it's a joint use. It's a joint use. So they have air service there. They have a lot of flight training, and then, of course, military. And, I actually don't remember the number of operations, but it's incredible, because twice a year they have weapons tactics instruction, and that's basically a joint exercise that a lot of other branches of the military, even the Marine Corps
WTI.
Itself, but Belgium Air Force, I mean, you name it, they all would come and kind of train in these ranges, military operating areas and restricted areas. And so my job was radar air traffic controller. And I just did really well. I actually got my quals in record time at the busiest Marine Corps station in the world. So it's kind of cool. When I got out, I actually wanted to be a Marine Corps officer. I wanted to go. I wanted to be a Mustanger, like yourself, Carl. And when I got out, I was actually married before, and I was in the Bay Area, and I, saw an airport down there. I was at the bottom of the hill, and I said, I'm gonna go down next day and see what they have available. Well, anyway, I got hired on the spot.
Wow.
Kind of got promoted, five times in my first 4 years, and I just advanced really quick.
Right time.
Yeah.
Opening.
Totally caught the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of different things. I started off as airport operations, and I got involved in construction project management. Got involved in grants. And, caught that bug. And
wow, that's a whole specialty.
Yeah, it is. It's very tedious, and there's also strategies behind that. And
which brings to what you've been able to bring to this airport here in Reading, correct, is that specialty.
Yeah, that's correct. And then we're actually going to be making a big mess here soon, and at the front curb, we got a 100% grant for. Should be in my inbox right now. We're going to sign it electronically, but it's about $1.5 million, 100% funded.
Okay.
Wow.
And that leads to? Oh, that's different, though.
Well, this is different. So
we're going to make the big announcement.
But we're going back. We have just a few minutes. Oh, we don't. Okay, I want to hear more about your past and then bring you into the future.
Okay. I tell you what we're going to do. Take a quick break, come back, and going to get to the big announcement also.
And our guest is?
Jim Watley, who is the director, the commanding officer, as you will,
yes,
of the Reading Airport.
We need that guy in charge.
7:15 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, ever since Cornerstone Community Bank opened, they have been helping people. They've been moving local dreams forward. And everything that's come along with the COVID, with their Paycheck Protection Program and how they help that. And they save so many businesses here in town. And everything that you can imagine, they are locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. Three branches right now, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one, of course, at 1845 California Street, right downtown, and the main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. A fourth is going to open soon. In Anderson. So, hooray for Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages, 7:15 in the morning here on the 26th of July.
How old are you?
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Shasta County Citizen Journalist is hosting a community town hall Saturday, July 31st at 9 a.m. Lake Reading Park, gazebo area. Freedom and liberty lovers are welcome for peaceful and thoughtful dialogue about concerns and solutions to our county's problems. We'll have guest speakers, food truck, kids games, face painting, balloons, ice cream truck, and more. This is a private event open to the public, so attendance is at the discretion of the hosts. July 31st, 9 a.m., Lake Reading Park. Tell your friends.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Reading Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of costs, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Reading Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Reading, California.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda.
Yeah, 73 degrees in the downtown studios, and we're going to have 100 today with a slight chance of showers.
73 degrees.
Yeah.
That feels like about 85.
I know, because I'm
sure.
Sweating in here, but, you know,
This portion of the show brought to you by Reading Electric Utility. Reading Electric Utility is working mightily to help clear the areas around our town here and within the county to keep the fires at bay. Keep your trees cut 5 feet above the ground. Give yourself defensible space. And remember that we're all in this together. And we all have to be very wary of these fires, as you know, because once they get started, we used to think, well, they won't burn into town. Well, as we've realized, they will burn into town. So give yourself defensible space. Clear your areas up, too, and help prevent the fires. Or help mitigate fires. We'll never prevent them, but we can mitigate them. And we're here with Jim Watley, who is the director of the Reading Airport out there. He just said he's got a $1.5 million grant. Is that?
Yep, that's just one of them.
Just one of them.
Yeah, we've got about four of them coming.
Okay, and what's it? You said you're going to kind of tear up the front.
Yeah, so if you've used the airport recently and you kind of recall that the access road's a little bit, you know, broken up and it's in poor shape. So what we're doing is we actually had a very large project that I broke into phases, and there's kind of a strategy behind that to kind of create a multi-phase project. But there's only so much funding for a low priority project. It is eligible for grant funds with the FAA, but it's very low. So mm-hmm. when you compete with airports like SFO, Oakland, San Jose, LAX, you know, in the region, it's really hard. So, you know, taking something that's normally it was originally $6.5 million. We value engineered that down to about $5 million and then broke it up into phases. So the first one's about $1 million, and then we have our costs, the soft costs with consultants and airport as well. But basically we're going to tear up the curb. So when you get dropped off and you get picked up, that curb right there, we're going to make a big mess.
Okay.
So once it's done, it's going to look gorgeous, and it'll basically be from, if you know where FedEx is and the air traffic control tower, mm-hmm. that little portion, it's about a third of the loop. We're going to be reconstructing that first, and then we're going to try to compete for some other funding, 100% funding as well, and we'll see how that goes. But we haven't been given the signs yet to apply, because what you don't want to do is get somebody on board like a contractor, get some bids, and then have those bids expire because prices have gone up. So there's a strategy behind
that.
So
it's basically a beautification of the entrance.
It will be it's primarily a reconstruction because you can't really rehab it. The subgrade needs to be reconstructed. Otherwise, if you just mill it out and then fill it with mill and fill 2 inches, then you could actually get some that reflecting through that new asphalt. So
will there eventually be because I find the charm in like Burbank used to be where you could just park and then get in. You know, there was a beauty in that. Reading always reminded me, you park, you walk across the walkway, and you're in there. Are we going to have eventually a parking structure? Because now that we are adding more airlines, more travel.
I think what we do need to do, we need to expand our parking, because if you go and look at it this morning, it's almost full. And, you know, the big news I wanted to share today.
Okay, and here it is. Okay, I wish if I had drums, I'd do a drum roll.
Wait a minute, I know he's got a drum roll on there. I'm catching him off guard.
The announcement is?
Well, I found out on Friday. It was released on Thursday, but Brenda Haynes, the district representative for Congressman LaMalfa's office, sent me an email saying, congratulations, you guys are going to be awarded $750,000. And this is excellent because this is going to help provide a revenue guarantee for Denver service.
Woo!
So we're starting with Denver.
Now
service.
It's international travel. LA, Denver, Denver's such a United, that's the big hub.
It's huge. Denver is big. Huge, and they're getting, I'm trying to remember.
Oh my gosh.
I think before COVID, I thought they were going to get like 28 gates. Maybe they're getting 20 out of 28 new ones, but they're also getting 70-seater aircraft, which is our market, and it's just an incredible eastbound service with an abundant number of connections. So, for example, and again, these are pre-COVID numbers. I don't know how things shook out after, but SFO offered about 115 connections. LAX was 65. Denver's 171. So it's really pretty incredible. You save time by going eastbound, and you can connect. I mean, it's just
everywhere.
So much value.
This is such a huge thing.
It is.
It really is. I used to fly Sacramento, Denver to Nashville because I lived there for 5 years, and that would be like every 2 weeks I was on that plane. And so I really do like the Denver airport. I think it's amazing, yeah. And usually I weigh more than Chicago. Chicago was the other leg to go from Sacramento, Chicago, wow. Nashville. But Denver was always and never felt, even in extremist weather or extreme weather, it just kept running.
You they never have great were programs.
Yeah, you were never yeah, sleeping
really
in the
reliable.
In the airport.
Okay, so now we have flights to L.A.
I'm starting to lose track, but yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
So
L.A.
We have L.A.
Burbank.
Seattle. And three flights to San Francisco. So that's a lot of flights.
Now, this leads me, after a little discussion we had, that maybe redesignation.
Well, there's a lot of talk, a lot of interest in rebranding the airport as a regional airport. And that was, that was an interest that was before I got here. And when I heard it, I'm like, absolutely. I mean, in our region.
Now, what
else?
Is a regional airport? I mean, you kind of have an idea, but.
And does that put you in another ballpark for funding?
Kinda. Yeah.
Okay. So what is a regional airport?
Well, so we have a primary catch basin of about, 285,000 people. And that's just kind of the local area. Then you have a greater area that we actually do pull from, and that's about 425,000. So it is a greater area. I mean, we're seeing people from Corning, Chico coming up. And so if you think about it, flights, say you want to go to Seattle and you're in Chico, why go south to then go, deal with all that down there and then go north when you could literally just go north and
you can drive an hour and be here instead of, 2 hours and it's cheaper to, it's just cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a firm believer that when you get the right person in the position, good things happen. And so Jim, father of five, former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. You've come in and taken over this operation, and you're kicking major butt.
I appreciate that. I mean, I am standing on the foundation of my predecessors. I have some different ideas, and some of the things that we have done differently was do some extra studies last year to present to the airlines, and I'm looking at doing that again, but even doing something different. And doing more studies. So we're going to continue this trend.
We're going to have to run here, but we're going to have Jim on again in a week or so. Spend an hour here talking about where we think we can go here with Reading. The fact that what this does for our business community is huge.
Absolutely.
And which also means bringing in more people that said, well, now we've got a hub here, we can fly literally anywhere.
More jobs.
Yes. There's jobs being created just with the additional airlines.
Yes.
But, we do have to be forward-thinking. That is my job. And I also have to do the appropriate studies, make sure it's eligible for these grant funds, and also, fill in the gaps with the other pieces that don't get funded by the FAA. So I have a lot of work to do yet.
Well, so far, so good, Jim. Jim
thank
Watley.
Thank you for being
who
with
is
us.
The, is
yeah.
The, are you... Is your title director?
It's airport manager. I'm underneath the director of public works. So airports is under director.
Okay.
Well, welcome to Reading. I'm sure everybody's yahooing on you being this greatest addition.
Well, I love this community. It's awesome.
It's you know what that was,
we do too.
I've never longest I ever lived anywhere was 3 years. I mean, from the time I was born, and I've lived here now 14 years. And every so often, you go screaming down the street with your hair on fire, about California. Not about Reading. But
exactly.
This is a great place.
It is a great place.
Yeah.
So thank you for having me.
This is great. It was a pleasure getting to know you better. And like I said, you'll be back in a week or two, and we're going to spend an hour talking about the, where you think that we can go with this and the impact it's going to have on business, because the flights coming in are probably worth millions of dollars that we don't even, nobody really thinks about.
There's a lot of economics coming out of the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, even some of the stuff I was asking some of the businesses, it was eye-opening to me.
Well, and we're going to discuss that when you come back because it is a you need an airport. There's certain things you need in a city to be a city, a paper, museums, cultural events, a really good local hometown radio station. But that airport is really important.
Couldn't agree more.
Coming up next
Will be Jim Dahl and his merry band of ruffians as they come in to discuss something that's going to happen here in the near future.
I love all these unveilings.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I had got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Dinorama presents Bruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a good day already, 7:35 in the morning here on the 26th of July. And it's about, oh, I don't know, what is it about? 72 already? Out there going up to 100.
We're
going to
look right now, 73. 70,
I'm sorry. Okay, I've got 75, but say 74. All right. Smoke in the air. Okay.
Yeah, and today we do have a slight chance of showers happening with our temperatures around 100 and overnight lows of 72.
Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. Of course, they're one of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're here with a gentleman, and we're going to have to tell people is that we've had a long relationship with Jim Daw, and it started when he married us.
Jim.
January 1st, 2000-something.
He's been saying every Jim today has been Jeff, but it's Jim Daw.
I said Jim.
Oh, I thought you said Jeff.
Yeah, no, he was right.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
I'm
no.
already correcting. We've been married 15 years.
I know. Is it that long?
14.
No, no, it hasn't been, but she just throws numbers out. Pretty soon, but when you work together, you double it. So we've been married 36 years.
Yes.
And, Jim, you're here to talk about sports a bit more.
Yeah. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, it is great to be here with you guys. And
you're looking great.
Hey, and Linda's looking younger. So, Carl, you're doing a fine job.
We're good.
Hey, we're here to talk about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The Ministry of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but we have a golf tournament coming up in September 18th, and so we're here to talk about that, but then also a really, really important part of what FCA is doing with coaches. And so, first of all, I want to talk about our golf tournament, which is a great tournament. We are at Gold Hills. Gold Hills does a great job for us up there. We appreciate Jeff and all the people up there that really make this tournament happen. And so our chairman, I'm co-chairman, and is Marv Van Noy, and Marv is a fantastic chairman and has been doing this for, this is our fifth one, and it is going to be just a great day. We have our teams are just about full, so we're good on teams. But if anyone out there is interested in becoming a sponsor for a whole sponsor or just a sponsor and donate to the tournament, always use raffle prizes. If your business would like to have some advertising with a great group of men and women, we've got a lot of ladies playing golf, and we would love to have them part of our tournament. So it's September 18th, and if they would like to, they can call me. My phone number is 524-3344. Real easy, 524-3344, and we could help get any part of any part they like to be a part of our golf tournament, and the proceeds go to working with kids. We do a fantastic job of working with young people throughout our county. So I'd like to introduce Norm, who is the director, area director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he can talk a little bit about the what we do, and then we'd like to get in Greg Randell, who's here to talk about coaches and what it really means to be a transformation type of a coach. And it's pretty exciting.
A transformational coach.
Yeah.
Okay, Norm, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you.
Norm's lost it.
Yes. One of the quotes you have here on your flyer is, a coach will impact more people in 1 year than the average person will in an entire lifetime.
Yes, that was a quote from Reverend Billy Graham.
Yes, and it's so true because it's where mentoring begins.
Yes, transformational coaches we juxtapose to a transactional coach. In other words, a transactional coach is someone who gives you something for what you give them. You know, they want you to score, and you'll get affirmed for that. If you don't, you get put down for that. Transformational is someone who's wanting to see the kids grow beyond sports in their personal lives, in their character formation, and their spiritual formation.
We watched a documentary once on somebody who went to a all-boy college, and I can't remember what it was, and that he talked about that coach made such an impact on his life and the other football players that it was so beyond football that it affected his life, and he was a leader, and it was worth the documentary or whatever it was, but it really left an impact on me about how a person can affect in a team sport somebody to help somebody believe the quality of what they can contribute to life.
Absolutely. You know, we figure that a coach probably spends 15 to 20 hours with a student athlete every week during season, oftentimes more times than they spend with any other adult in their life, sometimes including even their parents. So that coach has all these teachable moments, we would call it, you know, during the play of the sport that they have to share with this student to draw to their attention things like deferred gratification. You know, how do you work hard today for something you may be rewarded with later?
Years later.
Yeah.
Even years later.
Exactly. Maybe teamwork or other types of qualities that they're going to take those teachable moments, but those are afforded to a coach quite frequently.
And, you know, right now we have the biggest sporting event every 4 years, of course, is the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch these athletes that we've had first that we've never had before, and like Taekwondo, which I'm not a follower of, an 18-year-old girl, young woman, just won the gold. For the first time, the first American to win any medal in Taekwondo, and her coach, he was as happy, if not happier. I don't know, he couldn't have been happier than her. And then another one in the foils, and then the swimming, and then, you know, basketball, I don't look at it so much because most of them are pros anyway. But looking at those individual coaches that help these young people, and they are young, reach the highest level of achievement is if that doesn't indicate to you how important a coach is, you need to take a look at life.
And wouldn't you say that it's really how do you impose or not impose, but make a strong suggestion or to what's the word I want to say with somebody who's very young, that it's about the journey along the way to become excellent at what you do, no matter what level it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things the transformational coach is going to focus on is the young person's personal development, what's going on in their life, they're alert to that, they're going to pull them aside and ask, you know, how are you doing today? The concern is, you know, more about the athlete themselves than themselves. Oftentimes, you know, coaches will live vicariously through their athletes, and it's about winning. It's about, you know, what kind of status they receive. And so when we talk about transformational coaches, this is someone who's really looking to see young people's lives transformed. And we know that a lot of young people today are struggling and dealing with all kinds of hurts and issues in their life. And single parent families where that single parent's doing a wonderful job, but they're missing a portion of that relationship they could have with that missing parent, and so on. And oftentimes the coach is able to come alongside and really provide a healthy mentoring relationship to that young person.
Well, you know what? We need to take a quick break. Then I want to talk to Greg Grindel. And you've been doing this for 35 years. And get your take on this. I mean, when you do this for 35 years, you know, I mean, I want to ask you, and you don't have to answer right now, you win championships, but you also mentor so many people.
Absolutely.
And how that is, you know, the good of the person over the good of the team type of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you on the spot when we come back on that one. Hey, this portion.
That's an easy one.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Estate Granite. My Cube Over Estate Granite has been doing this for 17, 18 years, and does just a fantastic job. He is a true artist when you're talking about working with marble, granite.
And he's really fun.
And he's a good guy.
And he's creative. Yeah. So you can give him the key and say, here, buddy, do it. We're going out of town. He sends pictures. You say, that sounds great. Just do it. I know you're going to do a phenomenal job. You can trust him, and we've used him in remodeling our kitchen, and that's who I recommend.
That's it. And for a free consultation, give him a call at 241-STONE. He works by appointments only. Learn more at EstateGranite.com. And when I say it's the good guys against the bad guys, he's one of the good guys. Estate Granite. We'll be right back.
Bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit PowerhouseSolar.com.
It's July, and Black Bear Diner is celebrating red, white, and blue all month. Start your morning with two sweet cream pancakes topped with fresh sliced strawberries, our house-made blueberry topping, and whipped cream. Or finish off your favorite Black Bear Diner meal with our California cheesecake, drizzled with blueberry and strawberry toppings, plus whipped cream. Come visit us at the diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading, or order at blackbeardiner.com for takeout and delivery.
Black Bear Diner.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to Rich, the number 4, Reverses.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit PowerhouseSolar.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our morning show. I tell you, we should have bloopers at the breaks. Welcome back to our show here, KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Carla and Linda Bott on this Monday live edition. This is your talk radio.
75 degrees and this portion of the show brought to you by
Four Winds Jewelry located at 2225. Got to calm down here.
Slow your lips
diamonds
down.
Diamonds,
step, step back.
No, Hilltop Drive. And, yeah, they are, locally owned. They can do everything from, setting stones, fixing stones. In fact, I need to take my, my jewelry in and have them look to see if anything's, you know, loose or dislodged or whatever. Anyway, Four Winds Jewelry, they're right over there, and tell them that we sent you. What are you laughing at?
Well,
cause I'm like, burr.
You circle before you strike.
All right.
We're here with Jim Dahl and Norm Slosson and
Coach Gary
Grandel. Coach Gary Grandel.
Greg Grandel.
Greg, you tell me how that's Grandel right there.
It's Randell.
It's
Randall.
It's Grandel.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't hear the G. Sorry,
it's
buddy.
Well, it's Crandall and Randall and Grandel. Right. I've been called many things.
And they're from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And there's going to be a breakfast here August 7th from 8:30 to 10:30 at the Stirring Church. We're going to tell you how to RSVP, but is the speaker going to be Teddy?
Teddy Gray, yes.
Teddy Gray is going to be the speaker there besides Greg and Norm. And we're going to talk a little bit about Teddy. But, Greg, you've been a coach for 35 years out of West Valley. You're still wearing the shirt. So the decision that you have to make, what's best for the team? What's best for the athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Hard?
No, not really. Because the team, you always want the team to be first. And in our program and the program I tried to create was one that was more of a family than just a team. I remember working with our guys and 3 months in, and they said, Coach, are you ever going to talk about offense or defense? You know, because my focus was to speak life into kids, and I always felt like if you can make a family, you would be successful. And you have a captive audience as a football coach, and that's a big responsibility. And that could be, you know, it could be great or it can be bad. And there are some great transformational coaches out there, and unfortunately there's a lot of transactional coaches out there.
And the difference?
Put it this way, you know, if all I do as a coach is ask them every day how much they weigh and what their bench press is, you know, it's pretty shallow. You know, so and there's a lot of good X and O coaches, and there's a lot of good coaches that can get their team physically ready for a game. But the next step would be the mental and spiritual side of it. You know, I mean, do you genuinely care about the kid above winning football games, you know? And it's crazy, and, you know, it's got to be real, but in my career, the more I didn't think about winning and thought about creating good men, the more we were successful. So, I don't know if that was, you know, I didn't intend that, but my goal was to help speak into young men, help them become good young men, guys that could, you know, we always talked about being honorable with ladies. We always talked about, you know, make a deal with a handshake, be on time, all the things.
Take responsibility.
Yeah, just responsibility. Yeah. And, I used to talk a lot about managing their self. You know, you gotta manage yourself. You have to do things right. You have to be good citizens on campus, those kind of things. And they took pride in it. You know, it was something they were proud of. And we talked a lot more about those kind of things than we talked about, you know, winning a championship. Winning a championship is a byproduct of developing guys that cared about each other and were servant leaders to each other and putting other people first on the team.
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's It's any good organization like that, whether it's the military or a football team or a baseball team, that's the winner. Now, I was going to ask you another question, but I'm going to ask you this one instead. Teddy Gray is going to be one of your speakers. Teddy has had a, would you say, a different life than most of the people that you run into?
Oh, yeah.
So I've got, you know, Teddy was in jail. Mm-hmm. For 20 years.
So that kind of, you know, that speaks about some of the transformational part of it. I mean, he even said, you know, Coach, when I was visiting one time, he was in.
Was
a,
he one of your players?
He played football for me.
Okay.
And he was, came from a rough situation and obviously got into a real, tough, thing and ended up going to prison, him and two other boys locally, actually. And he spent 21 years in High Desert, Soledad State Prison in San Quentin. But I stayed with him and visited him, and he said, Coach, you know, when you get to this level, you know, nobody comes to visit you. All your friends are gone. Most of your family's gone. You know, a mom might come, a dad, but no teachers and no coaches. That's why I'd go in there and go, hey, coach. The prisoners kind of took a liking to me because I was the coach, you know, and that's a picture of a transformational coach. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying, I actually got more out of it than he did, I think.
You never gave up on him.
I never gave up on him.
And so we only got a couple of minutes. What happened to Teddy?
Teddy is out now. He found faith. He has a program in the state of California now to help prisoners be successful when they get out. They just got $millions grant from the California. I don't want to quote the number of dollars, but it's a lot. Millions of dollars for his program.
To actually have a program from somebody that's been there.
Absolutely.
That's made it successful.
Yeah,
himself.
Three former life prisoners have the program.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they all found faith in prison, and they're just really doing well out and helping guys be successful.
Now, Teddy is going to be one of the speakers at the breakfast that's going to occur again on August 7th.
And buy tickets where?
Well,
it's free.
It's free.
You just RSVP.
To Angie at
thestirring.org,
and we'll put this on our Facebook page, and we'll announce this a couple more times.
And finally, I just want to say that these two played football together at Azusa University.
Yeah.
And I love that here you are in this walk together all these years later.
Well, I was trying to block him for a lot of years. And I can never get my hands on him, so it's kind of nice that we're working together because I don't think I ever laid a helmet
on him. Norm is a big guy.
Wait a minute, Jim. Move that over there, Jim.
What's exciting about this breakfast and Coach Grandel and what Norm are doing, this is for all coaches, not only high school, junior
Absolutely.
High. This is for, you know, those who are out there coaching soccer, those who are out there coaching Little League, like my grandson's coach. This is about transformation type of coach. And if you want to be a coach that makes a difference and an impact, I would really encourage you to be here at this breakfast. And it's going to be something that'll be an ongoing thing too in the future.
Absolutely.
That we're excited about. So this breakfast, August the 7th, it's a Saturday morning at 8:30 at the Stirring. And that's right up there on Churn Creek. And we just want to encourage people to respond and RSVP. And we'd love to have all the coaches in this area come and be a part of that breakfast.
Can other people come? Can athletes come on something like this? Or should it be more of the student?
I think it'd be good because a lot of athletes become coaches.
That's right.
Most of my staff were former players.
Of course.
But you made mention of the people that are coaching youth. I mean, the little guys are the most important coaches.
Those are the ones you really have to reach.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you to the Stirring, because the Stirring really initiated this. They approached Greg, who attends their church, and said, Coach, what would you think about us doing an appreciation breakfast? And so then Greg brought me in from FCA. So we're really grateful for the opportunity to express appreciation for the contribution of coaches.
Well, thanks so much for coming on today.
Beautiful way to start our Monday morning, huh?
It is. We've had two great, and we're getting ready to have a third guest coming in here that's also fantastic. And we're going to talk more about this, but thank you so much. You know, coaches have such an impact on our kids, and a lot of times you don't even realize it. So, thank you so much, Greg and Norm, and of course, Jim. And I'd love to have Teddy Gray as a radio guest, if we could work that out somehow.
That would be great.
Okay. Hey, when we come back, Dan Beans, who is the director of REU, will join us.
Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour, townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Pressure is mounting on all sides to show progress on President Biden's top priority in infrastructure deal.
One major roadblock is how much money should go to public transit. But spending on water projects, broadband, and other areas remains unresolved, as is tapping COVID-19 funds to help pay for it. As discussions continue, the group's lead Republican negotiator says both sides are about 90% there. Senate Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants a vote before the August recess. Ken Lorman reporting.
Julie Walker reports that an announcement of an agreement is expected today by President Biden and the Iraqi Prime Minister to end the U.S. military combat mission in Iraq.
The U.S. and Iraq agreed in April that the U.S. transition to a train and advise mission meant the U.S. combat role would end, but they didn't settle on a timetable for completing that transition. The announcement comes less than 3 months before parliamentary elections slated for October 10th.
The nation's top federal health officials considering whether or not to revise the COVID-19 mask guidelines.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that vaccinated people don't need to wear masks in public. But Dr. Anthony Fauci tells CNN's State of the Union that CDC officials are now actively considering a change.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clugston. Some U.S. parents are planning to continue homeschooling their children even when the pandemic ends. Nikki Warris, educator in Boca Raton, Florida, chooses homeschooling for her daughters because she says it's not one size fits all.
People are looking for options. They want a different option. They've seen a side that they don't like, you know, of other schools, of the school system in general.
Parents of many stripes say they tried homeschooling during the pandemic on what they thought was merely a temporary basis, then found it to be beneficial to their children. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 65 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We called him Willy Wonka. He's a chocolate lab. His belly itched, and he would actually lay in the grass and scoot across it to scratch. And Sheba, his sister, she scratched at her ears real bad, and she shook her head so much, she wound up with cauliflower ears.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition.
When we first got the DinoVite, they cleaned the bowls up real good. Her ears, they're a whole lot better. Wonka, his belly, it's all really cleaned up. He flops over and lays on his back and just kicks his legs, and I call it his happy dance. They look good and even smell good in between baths. You should give your dogs DinoVite before something happens. And that's kind of like preventative maintenance.
DinoVite for life.
It makes them healthier and happier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
And your dogs will love it just like mine do.
DinoVite.com.
More heavy rain is expected in central China's flood-ravaged Henan province, where the death toll has risen to around 70 already. We get the latest figures from correspondent Charles de la Desma.
Forecasters say cities already hard hit now face more heavy downpours, complicating rescue efforts and attempts to deliver water and food. Teams are working hard, plugging gaps in dikes, while fresh storms will put more pressure on basins used to divert and hold floodwaters. Further help is coming from the military, with helicopters used to bring drinking water, medicine, food and other relief items to around 20,000 people in inaccessible areas. The flooding that began July 17 has affected almost 13 million people and collapsed nearly 9,000 homes. I'm Charles de la Desma.
Breaking news and analysis can be found at townhall.com. Olympian Katie Ledecky is praising her opponent, Australia's Ariana Titmus, who won the 400-meter freestyle by chasing down Ledecky on the final stretch. She says the two now share a great rivalry.
Just
each race, it's always a tough race, and that's something that motivates you in training. I think that's motivated her, that's motivated me, and when we meet up, it's always a great race.
A new push to protect the wild Atlantic salmon in Maine is unlikely to land that fish on the endangered species list, as Bernie Bennett reports.
Atlantic salmon once teemed in U.S. rivers, but now return from the sea to only a handful of rivers in eastern and central Maine. The fish are protected at the federal level under the U.S. Endangered Species Act, but a coalition of environmental groups and scientists said the fish could be afforded more protections if they were added to Maine's own list of endangered and threatened species. The environmentalists who want to see the fish on the state list said they're going to keep pushing for it and other protections. I'm Bernie Bennett.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 26th of July, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Jared's here. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
And a quick update on the fires.
Let's see.
While you're doing that, I know that the Bootleg Fire in Oregon is over 400,000
acres. 409,000 acres and 51% contained.
And it is, you know, it's taken down power lines. It may have been started, and our next guest, it may have been started by a utility company.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the
Dixie
Fire.
It's 192,000, actually almost 193,000 and 21% contained.
And it also
may have been started by a utility company, PG&E.
PG&E has already said that. So, wow. I mean, and when you look up and you see the smoke in the air and the air quality index not being the best, it's what do you expect when we've got close to 700,000 acres of of area on fire, pushing that into the air? I just imagine what that does for the pollution index and global warming, etc.
Okay. Well, anyway, so here's what our forecast is for. And good morning for this 8 o'clock hour, everybody. Good news on the forefront: clouds and some sun this morning, with more clouds for this afternoon. With our 99, winds will be about 10 to 15 miles per hour. We have 23% humidity. So if you're walking out feeling that kind of, that's what it is. And tonight will be 71, cloudy. And tomorrow looks like we've got around 87 degrees with, again, 24% humidity. And Wednesday will be 104. And let's see, Thursday, 106. And Friday, 107. That's what we're looking at. And Saturday 103 and Sunday 101. Mostly sunny, just partly cloudy on a couple of those days. And again, the highest humidity will be Tuesday at 24%. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where they are locally owned and operated, senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Go to your local companies. They will take care of you.
The current temperature is anywhere between 75 and 78 already at 8:08 in the morning. So stand by. After making those announcements how utility companies were starting fires throughout the West, we have with us Dan Beans, who is the director of Redding Electric Utility.
Good morning, Carl.
How's that work for you?
Well, so far so good. Difference for us is we have an excellent fire department that is has our back.
Well, Dan, when we hear these things, tell people. I think most people would know, but many don't. How can a utility company start a fire?
Well, electricity starts fires. It's high voltage. It gets in contact with trees or anything combustible. It can start a fire. So. Things can fail, clamps can overheat and break, and the line can hit the ground. And we have all kinds of protection systems that are built to sense faults and shut off the power if something happens. But many of those things, like fuses and breakers, they take a little bit of time even cycles to turn off. And so there is that. All it takes is a spark. So even a fuse blowing can blow and create sparks. And even though the fuse is protecting the line and shutting it off, the sparks are out there. And then if it's a hot, dry day and it lands in fuels, there you go.
The a lot of times the, you know, trees are along the line.
Mm-hmm.
And heavy windstorm, old trees, trees that are sick or damaged will fall. And the amount of time that REU spends along your lines just looking for these types of disasters, you know, waiting to happen, how do you handle that?
Well, there's state laws that we have to follow, regulations that actually say how much trimming we have to do as far as how far the trees have to be from the lines. And so we actually have our own staff of 8 arborists that's all they do is go around and trim the trees constantly because trees don't stop growing. So
You've got 8 people, arborists out?
Plus a supervisor, yeah.
Cutting away from our line.
Constantly, yeah.
Wow. Now, what if they're on private land?
See, that's the thing. We only, with the right-of-way that we have, we can only clear so far away. So we can't necessarily trim or cut trees that are outside the right-of-way. And in California, the way inverse condemnation and strict liability is often interpreted, if a tree outside of our purview, outside of our right-of-way, falls in and hits our line, we could still be liable.
So, I mean, to me, that would be is, okay, you've got my own 1,000 acres here, and you've got 15 trees along this right-of-way, even though they're in your property, that could take out all the electricity and cause a fire. Do you then reach out to the landowners?
We do. We definitely try to work with the different owners. A lot of times those owners are federal agencies, and they're not always the easiest to,
really?
to work through the paperwork on.
You know, you would think for the common good, do you want to have your property go up in flames because of your attachment to some trees on the line that could possibly happen? Well, I just do not get that. There should be a law against that.
Yeah, there are people who absolutely refuse to let us trim the trees. And there's, in our wildfire mitigation plan, we actually put a section in there about forced trim. Because
they should be fined.
We have to. It's about the community. The trees are awesome. But
it's beyond yourself because of these fires.
It is.
Well,
don't let me sit on a panel of judges. I'd be like, off with your head.
They'd be hanging upside down. Well, that must be frustrating. I mean, you've got a team of 8 plus a supervisor out there every day trying to keep the area clean. That means underneath it, on both sides of it, overheads.
Yep.
I doubt if there's too many overheads. But, well, here in town, you've got lines that run through trees.
Yep. There are some like that. We're also using new technology as part of our wildfire mitigation plan. We're actually using what's called LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging, and it allows you to fly a helicopter or airplane over the lines and give you 3D imaging of any issues that you might have with your line. So we're doing that to back up our guys to make sure we're not missing anything. So, but it's a constant battle. You cannot do enough. Vegetation management is a huge deal. And then we've recently been handed new regulations from the federal government, which increases our fines and anything like that if we don't do this just right. And so we have to continually keep upping our game on this.
Okay. And we're here with Dan Beans, who's the director of Reading Electric Utility. We're going to take a quick break. I don't know how many times I can stand on this soapbox and say, we can mitigate so much of the fires in our state if we just got out there and, you know, and had the wherewithal and the ability and the testicular fortitude from our state level and our feds to go out there and clean up the brush, thin these trees out, and we wouldn't have these fires like this. And then now, here's REU with 9 people working full time to keep these areas clean, and they run into places, including federal lands, that won't let you cut the trees that you know are a danger, and know that if they drop, that they're going to take out the power lines. I find that so frustrating, and I imagine you do too.
It is. And we're actually in a better condition than some. Like, some utilities next to us are smaller, and they're even more forested, and they're more federal lands, and their lines are dwarfed by the trees and the canopy. And it's just, in California, there's just not a lot of wiggle room there, so just a high risk there.
Yeah. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Finance. You know, we're talking fires. Jeannie Maxwell and her team, the insurance team, and of course, she has a financial team also. They've been doing it, this business, since 1993. They've been helping businesses, seniors, families, veterans, since 1993. And a lot of times people will lose their fire insurance. You see it all the time because they live in an area. Well, if you don't have fire insurance, you don't have home insurance. So what Judy does is she finds the way to get your property insured for fire. Give her a call at 221-0441. She's helped everybody that we know that we've sent to her, plus many others then that will go to find a way to maintain your fire insurance to protect your home. That's Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give them a call at 221-0441. We'll be right back after these messages.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Richard and Lori again. Since January, many of your friends, neighbors, coworkers, and family have been injured, and too many have died after taking the COVID-19 experimental injection. Karen Ramstrom and Danelle Ewart refused to use even one of the 45 COVID-19 employees to track those injuries, deaths, and issue reports. The CDC Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System now shows 11,000 U.S. deaths, but public health refuses to admit it is happening here.
The government reporting system is statistically only showing approximately 5% of the actual numbers, so the deaths are likely closer to 200,000. Parents, you have seen this medical injury the past decades from childhood vaccines. This experiment is being coerced upon the population under the guise of protection. First responders are witnessing this medical murder. Call Shasta County Citizen Journalists with your story, 530-962-5168.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most. And their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Redding, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Should divine freedom, the lies to
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Monday, Monday.
I don't know. That makes me happy. Yeah, because Monday's not a drag.
This is
what you want it to be.
We've had so much information
in this show.
And we're only partway through it. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy started this business 12 years ago, is now the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California, teaching in over 46 different places. Yeah, it's hot out there. So you're saying, well, you know, I can take a class, but, you know, not all the dates and times work out for me. Take a look at a private class. You can pick your instructor, you know, if you want to listen to me for eight more hours, we'll go through a class at your convenience, or any of other great instructors that are there at Northern Firearms Instruction, or if you just want to learn to shoot your pistol better, or you've got your CCW, but you want to go on up to that next step, going through a class with presentation and moving and shooting these things, all of these are offered at Northern Firearms Instruction. Learn more at usgunpro.com or give Ted a call at 999-1822. We're here with Dan Beans, who's the director of Reading Electric Utility, and we've just talked about the Dixie Fire the one in Oregon. That's
the Bootleg Fire.
Bootleg Fire. That had an impact on us.
It did.
Okay.
Reading owns transmission rights on a 500 kV transmission line from Oregon border down to Tracy. And so we get up to 140 megawatts of power, which is could be half of our power, and it could come down that line. And so they, when there's a fire nearby, they'll actually derate the line. They'll flow less power over it, but at certain times they actually shut it all the way off. And so we had no power from the north. So our local natural gas power plant was keeping the lights on here in Reading, just as it did in the car fire, and it continues to do it. And even last August, when California was having blackouts, that plant was running.
Now, that's our own power generation plant. It runs off natural gas.
Yes.
That you have to buy on the market. Yep. And all this. But I know that this is one of the things you all are doing hourly or daily. Yes. You've got just a whole group of people.
Yeah, the resources, the way we do energy, it's got a 30-year horizon all the way down to a 5-minute or even shorter horizon, because we're now in an energy imbalance market where computers can actually ask our units to turn on, and they'll sell that into the energy imbalance market in California. So it's anything and everything in between. So we have natural gas hedging contracts to make sure that when we can protect our customers from the market swings, because the California market, as you can imagine, goes crazy, especially this time of year. And so by having stable natural gas prices, and we know the efficiency of our plant, we know we can guarantee these kind of rates for our customers and help avoid that shock for them.
Oh, we had a shock this last month, and it was our fault. But it was higher.
We do the levelized bill.
We pay the same amount each month. Some years it goes down $5 or $10. Sometimes it goes up $5 or $10. But it's probably as an average is about the same as it was 6 years ago for us. If anything, it was going down.
Right.
Because of months like last month and this month, you have a tendency to run. And if you have people in your house, you're going to run the electricity more. But we run on natural gas.
We don't run all the time on natural
gas.
No.
But when we have to.
Exactly.
What happens in the next 10 years when we aren't able to use natural gas?
Yeah, I mean, I think what California is going to realize is they're just going too fast in some of these areas. There's some peak periods where natural gas is the best transition fuel. It's the best way to help you get to that more renewable energy mix. Like anything, you can't go too fast. You, for one, physics will prevail, and for two, people can only stomach so much change. Businesses and people can only handle so much change. It's like the transportation electrification. Are we really going to have everybody driving electric cars in 14 years? Maybe. But are we really? And what has that look like?
And where are the, are you going to put a charger system somewhere on the top of South Fork so that you can recharge your truck when you get up there?
Right.
No, of course not.
Exactly.
So you carry a generator with you so you can recharge your truck and it uses fossil fuel. The turbines, as you know, the Fountain Wind Project was nayed by the Shasta County Planning Commission,
right.
Mm-hmm. Committee, whatever they are, said no to the Fountain Wind Project. How much energy would the Fountain Wind Project provide us, if any?
We're not planning on purchasing any power from it. So we have a wind project that we purchased in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And that is on the Columbia Basin in Washington State. And that is delivered at the Oregon border, and it's firmed with hydroelectric power. So it's a nice, firm product. And then that's what we bring down to Reading.
Okay. So this wasn't something that you all would get into then?
No, and it's located in the CAISO, the California Independent System Operator. And we're located in Bank, which there's a market differential there. And so
okay.
It would cost us a lot more. It would not make economic sense for us to buy into that project.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Wind power is, because I've talked to both sides on this several times, it's only like 30% of the turbines when they're all running. So they're only running like 30% of the time.
Yeah, the capacity factor is what they call that, based on the wind on and off. And, you know, solar used to be around 20% capacity factor. I think now they're getting up to 25%.
So solar is only with 1,000, if you have 1,000 solar panels out there, you're saying it's only
you're getting full amount when the sun's up. But
right.
When you do a capacity factor, you know, night, morning, you factor all that in, how much is of the hours of a year?
Winter versus summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much is that actually putting out? So solar's fine that way. It wins a little better, it can be, but the problem is they all can turn on and off, and they're intermittent and they vary. So you have to have a way. People aren't going to go, hey, turn off your air conditioner because the wind turbine's winding down or the sun's coming.
So I have a question for you. When you leave here today, I always think about the human being and somebody in the position that you're in, Dan. Like when you go to, and things are kind of, you know, obviously in the state of California and elsewhere, when an upheaval with fires and damage. And so, you know, when you go to work today, do you, have a crew that comes in? Like give us a visual of what happens when you leave here and go to REU at work.
Well, thankfully, the work gets done without me. So at 7 a.m. Over the courtyard, our land crews and arborists are all showing up. Our meter readers are showing up. The rest of the staff is showing up either at the power plant. And both the power plant's a 24/7 operation along with our control center there. And then the headquarter building where I work is, pretty much 8-to-5 kind of operation. So everybody's showing up. But during the summer especially, and especially red flag days, everyone is on super high alert. We are constantly kind of on edge, watching the system, watching the weather, seeing what's going on. In June, the first 9 days of June, there were actually 3 fires associated with our equipment. I mean, this wildfire mitigation plan that we have, it's not just something to bolster public safety in Reading, even though that's a super great side benefit. The primary purpose is to mitigate our risk of operating a utility in California in these climate conditions. So our fire department, they get there every time very quickly. And
keep it down to an acre or less?
Actually, none of ours have even reached an acre this year. So the biggest one was just over half an acre. The rest were smaller. And one of the reasons one of them was smaller than it could have been is the Parks Department, along with the Prince Firefighters last year, had done a bunch of cleanup in some of those areas. And some we're already seeing some benefits from that work. So this fire mitigation is a real thing for us. It's not like RU couldn't start a fire like, you know, other utilities have. It's just we have a we have a different kind of territory. We think it's safer to keep the power on and make sure we have resources, make sure we partner with our fire department, use technology, have better situational awareness, and, you know, do as much as we can on tree trimming and all that. So,
well, if that, you know, it's too bad the rest of the state and the feds don't have that same idea. That, you know, mitigate, but then have being able to hit something as soon as the first wisp of smoke. And I realize that's hard to do because you're talking millions of acres, but still, the mitigation part of clearing this up and trying to clean it up. I mean, it's electricity from a cogen plant is considered renewable. Mm-hmm. And we could probably be running 6 cogen plants right now if we start clearing out the land.
Right, instead of letting things just burn in smoke of the atmosphere, burn it and clean it up in the stack and make electricity.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dan Bean, who is several beans. Powerhouse Solo is an elite dealer for SunPower as well. You can get 26% on your federal tax credit. Now you can get the SunPower SunVault battery and solar and financing. Keep the lights on when the grind goes down. Interesting to have that on during this conversation. 275-600. We'll be right back after these messages here with Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bond. It is Monday, the 26th of July, 35 in the morning, 75 degrees out there, going up to about 106 today. Smoke in the air because of the Dixie Fire and the other one in Oregon. Why can't I remember
bootleg
that?
Fire?
Bootleg fire. I keep wanting to call it Brokeback Fire. I do not know why, but it's bootleg as opposed to Brokeback. And we're going to have smoke in the air. The air quality index, though, not as bad as it was last week, where it was almost unhealthy for people with lung conditions and all of that. The Lake Shasta water is at this point at 925 feet, down 141 feet from below full pool of 1,067. What impact, and we're here with Dan Beans, who is the director of REU. Julie Winter just put something in the paper, you probably saw it,
yep.
that the dam released all of this water, the Bureau of Reclamation, without running it through our generators.
Yeah, that happens occasionally for different reasons, maintenance reasons, fish, water temperature reasons, and this one was to try to help the fish, I believe.
But can't they still run it through the generator?
Apparently not. There's some maybe physical limitations of where they want to get the water from. Uh-huh. They want that colder water, so they're going to release it.
Apparently,
yeah.
Okay, but below your intakes, then, I guess.
Yeah, but the problem is there's not always a lot of, I don't know, I don't want to be too disparaging, but read the article. It's a good article by Julie.
It is a good article.
Yeah, but the other thing to just help people understand is, so Reading, we have rights to about 8% of the Central Valley Project hydro output. Mm-hmm. And so that includes, you know, Shasta, Trinity, Carr, Spring Creek, Keswick, a bunch of dams. And so we get 8% of that. The way the contracts work, though, is you pay for 8% of the maintenance and operation of those. And whether it's a drought year or a high water year, the maintenance is about the same. And so you pay the same costs every year, and on a good water year, you're getting a good value on your energy. If it's a year like this, you're not getting all that energy that you would normally get. You're still paying the money, and then you have to go out to the market and buy energy or produce it yourself at additional cost. So it's a double whammy. You're getting less energy for your money, and you have to rebuy it somewhere else.
Orville Dam. They're going to have to shut that down, I heard.
Yeah, it's just too low. Yeah.
It's too low. Mm-hmm. Is it right now? Is it too low? Or is it?
I heard it's pretty. It's getting close. Yeah,
yeah, I heard that in August they're probably going to have to shut down. And that's a huge amount of electricity for mm-hmm. that area down there.
Yeah.
It's not getting any better. What do people have to look forward to, Dan?
Well, there's definitely advancements in technology and energy efficiency and even renewable energy. And so those kind of things will hopefully reduce the demand. Just for an example, in 2006, right around the time when I first started REU, our peak in Reading was 253 megawatts. And since then, so what is that, 16 years or whatever mm-hmm. it's been, there's been solar, there's more solar installed on people's homes and businesses, there's been energy efficiency, LED lights and those kind of things put in. And there was a recession, of course, too, but we have not reached that peak energy use since then. Even just recently, the hot period of time, I think we got into the 240s. So we're still, you know, 12, 13 megawatts below where we were in 2006.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. That's by doing that, that helps defer having to, you know, build more substations, buy more transformers, do all those kind of things. But the next wave will be the transportation system electrification. That's going to add, most likely, load over time. And we have to make sure we have an infrastructure that can handle that and the energy that can serve it.
Okay, and what we're talking about, of course, is the push to get all electric cars mm-hmm. on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself has a number of things that's going to impact on people up here in Northern California.
Yeah, and generally it's a great concept, and it's, you know, whether electric cars or hydrogen cars or whatever, those are all great things for the environment as far as I can tell. The battery.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure about
the production of the batteries and all this.
There's some weird stuff about that, and then also
it's not in our own, but it's not in our nation, so it's okay. You know, I mean, that's the way. No, I mean, they look at it in some places. Global warming is good,
but for a business, for the utility business, having if we're able to power the transportation part of this in Redding, because right now, if you took our electric race and you power your electric car with it, you're paying like $1 a gallon equivalent for gas, and you know, with $4+ a gallon, that's a huge benefit. So,
but the electricity has to be there.
Has to come from somewhere. Yep.
It has to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So then, where we cut back on the quote pollutants in the air, we're gonna have to get the electricity from somewhere and try and then at the same time the state wants to do away with natural gas.
Right.
They won't let us have cogen plants at the level they should be, and the lakes are getting smaller.
All true.
You stay up at night thinking about this?
I try not to. But we do try to be forward thinking, and we do an integrated resource plan, so we look out 20 to 30 years, mm-hmm. even though in California things change every couple months. But you know, we do everything we can to plan, and we will be doing a refresh on our integrated resource plan, and that'll be public input as well.
So what do you think? I know we talk about technology making a difference, but in your opinion, in 5 years, what kind of technology will be there to cut back the power I use in my home?
Well, probably right now the biggest thing is the building code. For new homes, the building code is a big deal. Title 24 and the way they're making them very net zero type homes. So that's
what's Title 24?
That's the California Building Code section that refers to your energy, lighting, and all that. So you have to.
So this is why the new homes are going green, or they're calling them the green home, and
right.
They have to put solar on them. They have to.
You can't have a fireplace. I mean, the whole interesting thing is, you know, we've got a home that's probably what 50 years old. 50.
Oh no! We're into the 70s.
Okay, 60, yeah. 70. We're like, anyway. So not the most efficient.
Right.
However. You know, we try to be good.
Yeah, and there's retro things you can do. You can go and, depending on what your foundation is like, if it's crawl space or whatever, you can do different envelope things, and you can change out your glass, and you can change out your insulation, and you can do a lot of things. It's just, all you need is money.
Yeah. Change out that glass.
So mm-hmm. Hey, we want you to change out the glass in your house for double panes.
Sure. Yeah.
And we have a grant here. For the first 1,000 people who get down here first, we're going to replace the glass in your house, too. And we're going to start with the oldest houses first. So we're right there.
There you go.
Okay.
Fairs or anything like that coming up? The reason I'm asking that is because that's always a great, like, where people can come to you and ask questions. And you guys have done that in the past. It's been very beneficial for the reach, you know, to the public.
Right. Well, thank you for asking. You can always go to our website, of course, call customer service, and you can get information that way. But on October 8th, that is the Friday of Public Power Week, which is a nationally celebrated for public power utilities like ours. We're actually going to be down right in your neighborhood, just right there.
And right there.
Yeah. I think we're going to get to shut off the street even again. Sorry.
Oh, wow. No. This is great.
For an afternoon. Yeah. And there will be, we'll have booths set up.
It'll downtown be open mall.
Yeah. It'll be our 100-year celebration wow. with the public, and we will have all kinds of information and things for the public.
October 8th. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No, it's really important because people sometimes at one time you were doing like, well, you can get rebates and things like that to help retrofit and those kinds of things. People are wondering, what can I do
yeah.
in order to be a more active citizen with my utility usage?
Right. For new homes, as I said, there's no point in customers subsidizing rebates.
Right.
Because
right.
they have to do it anyway. So it's really the older homes that we need to look at, and how do we do that?
Yeah, you know, and that's a good question because, like you said, the only thing you need is money. because we have large windows. And uh-huh. even though they're tinted, they're still large windows that if they were double paned, that would make uh-huh. a difference. Yeah, we could probably spend easily $10,000.
Easy.
Oh, yeah.
To refurbish, you know, things like that. Anyway, yeah. Hey, we got to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Veteran-owned business right here in town, right off Athens Avenue. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The best place ever to get a haircut. In my opinion, they work by appointments only. 244-9478. I asked Tim the other day. I said, you know, we ever going to get the magazines back in here? You know, National Geographic, Guns and Ammo, Car and Track, all that. And he goes, well, we thought about it, except every time somebody comes in, you know, they're on their phone. And
ooh.
We finally don't even look at the magazines, just you old guys. And I said,
much prefer to have the paper in my fingers, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's, you know, okay, so I can look at Car and Track on my phone. So what?
Yeah,
I'd much rather, you know, hold it, open it up, you know, yeah. things like that.
Well, they stopped that with COVID.
And that's the only reason.
Yeah.
But it is still the place to get a haircut. Man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back. 8:46 in the morning. We'll be right back with Dan Beans, Director of Reading Electric Utility.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Shasta County Citizen Journalist is hosting a community town hall Saturday, July 31st at 9 a.m. Lake Reading Park, gazebo area. Freedom and liberty lovers are welcome for peaceful and thoughtful dialogue about concerns and solutions to our county's problems. We'll have guest speakers, food truck, kids games, face painting, balloons, ice cream truck, and more. This is a private event open to the public, so attendance is at the discretion of the hosts. July 31st, 9 a.m. Lake Reading Park. Tell your friends.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. This is a great Monday here on the 26th of July, 8:50 in the morning. Oh, yeah, it is 72 degrees, 75 degrees out there, and it's going up into 106 or something like that. It's going to be triple digits. But today we've talked to Jim Watley from the Reading Airport, the airport director out there, the manager, who just told us, made the big announcement that we're going to start having flights to Denver next year. And that means Denver, San Francisco, L.A., Burbank, and Seattle right out of our airport here. So no more complaining that you can't fly anywhere out of our own airport. Plus, their complete reconstruction of the entry coming into the airport, and other things that are going to be happening out there. And with us is Dan Beans, who is the director of REU. And Dan's been talking about how the, with the supervisor doing nothing every day but mitigating fires by cutting out all the brush, trees, and all this to try and keep the areas clear around our power generating areas. And so good morning, Dan. Welcome back.
Good morning, Carl. Before I forget about the airport too, it's one of the fastest airports to be able to get in and out of. You don't have to worry about all kinds of delays.
I love
and
that.
Baggage and this and that. Like,
you walk across the street.
Park and get out of your car and boom, you're inside.
It's amazing. So
what you're going to see though is they're going to have to expand the parking lot. Jim said already it was filled.
And Jim and I have talked a few times about, do we do a solar-covered parking lot? What kind of things?
That would be a great idea.
But things got, we got to make sure things make sense for RU customers as well as the airport and all that. So,
well, let's talk about solar, because solar works great as long as the sun's shining.
Yeah, and in California right now there's an excess of solar in the middle of the day. And so a lot of times that drives the market price way down, and sometimes we have to sell it and give it away to other states really cheap because it's just so much of it. And then what we're hitting now is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, sun starts diminishing, and then through about 10 o'clock at night, that's what California's been hitting over the last year now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when there's not enough power. And so your gas plants that you've had turned off all day, now you got to turn them on and crank them up, and you can't just turn them on that fast. There's some technologies you can, but you can't. It's definitely a challenge.
You got to get it going, just like a ship's engine.
So exactly.
You can't just turn it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't just turn them on and leave.
And you can't just turn them on and off.
The
cycles on tears them up, increases the maintenance costs and all that. So
I have to ask this because I'm such a proponent of nuclear energy. Sorry.
No,
I have been. Yeah. And I'm starting to see environmentalists are out there talking about nuclear energy to you want to do away with carbon.
Yeah, I mean, the tricky part about intermittent resources, some of the traditional renewable energy, is they don't have the energy density that you would need in these higher population areas like, cities. And so small nuclear reactors have been invested. There's been a bunch of research done by the Department of Energy, and there's a company out there marketing those. And, I mean, they use that technology in ships and submarines, as you know.
That's what I'm talking about. A ship can not only provide more than enough power for energy, but for 5,000 people on it. And there have been no cases of any problems on nuclear carriers. But subs, when you think they're in the water for 6 months at a time, there has been no problems with people living aboard there. And then when the ships come in, they can also provide a lot of power to shore.
Exactly.
And, I mean, it's amazing how much energy they use.
And those ports are near high population areas, so it's a perfect thing. If all the ships are carrying nuclear reactors, they could pull in and start powering up the city that they're at while they're getting loaded and unloaded.
So if we had a plant that was, say, the size, maybe a little bit bigger than one on a carrier, that could provide a lot of power to us.
Yeah, Reading's base.
Full time.
You got to look at how much megawatts does Reading use, 24/7. And if you look at that curve, it's probably under 100 megawatts. Mm-hmm. But then in the summertime, you get 150 megawatts of air conditioning load that goes on top of that. So your base load for something like nuclear would be somewhat less than 100 megawatts. So maybe a couple 30 or 40 megawatt units would probably be adequate. And they just run 24/7.
Okay, if they were running 35, 40 megawatts, that two of them be 80 megawatts.
Yeah.
Which then would take up that load.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that?
Well, we're doing our integrated resource plan. If the economics and, mm-hmm. In the community input and all that is for something like that, then that's definitely a possibility. Right now, our last integrated resource plan process, people preferred solar and wind as their fuel choices, along with our power plant. But that, as technology changes and opportunities change, there's definitely, that's on the table for people to talk about.
Because you could put a nuclear plant out here, mm-hmm. and it would be less, it's obviously, if you can put it on a carrier, you could put it in a facility of probably 50 acres easily.
We have 80 acres down at the power plant right now.
It would be easy to put one in there. And yep. With today's technology, the recycling and everything like that, I realize that, people will just start screaming, Fukushima,
yeah.
not realizing that the Japanese made a huge mistake putting it there.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and this technology is completely different from that one. One requires all these auxiliaries.
Right.
This is a way more self-contained, much simpler package.
Just like you have on a nuclear
exactly.
carrier.
And they've made strides since then, too.
So, oh, yeah.
But back on the arborists. So, yeah, we have the eight arborists, that are constantly doing their thing and their supervisor. But we also have seven parks workers that are doing the low-level work, the low-ground work. Our arborists are actually up there in the buckets and hanging on the trees. And they're doing the proximity of the power lines because you've got to be a qualified electrical worker to do that work.
A qualified what?
Electrical worker. You can't just be a tree trimmer and go and hack trees and branches around
the
power
line. So you
have
two specialties.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a tree trimmer and you've been trained to work safely around power lines.
And these guys, do you recruit them or do you train them up here in Reading?
It's been tough, actually.
Yeah.
When I asked council to give me a couple more positions for that, it took over a year to get the second position filled. So it's definitely high competition for arborists out there.
Okay. So arborist, which is one of the things they train for out there at Shasta College, is arborist. So it's not enough just to be able to trim a tree. You've also got to be working around hundreds of thousands of volts of electricity that you don't want to run through your body.
Exactly.
So you have to train them that way. Do you try and take an electrician and train them to be an arborist? Or
I don't think that's the normal path.
Okay, so it'd be an arborist that you train to be an electrician.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, then the people in the ground.
That would be like an underwater welder.
About a minute left. But so what about the people on the ground then?
Yeah, so the parks workers, they're out there. They're using force masticators. They're using chainsaws, weed whackers, doing all that. We have the goats, too, that help. And
the
so
goats.
They're doing all the stuff that's not in the proximity of the power lines. And so that is another layer of field mitigation that we're doing.
Okay, so it's just not up in the trees, it's on the ground?
It's on the ground, everything. Yeah, because, a fuse blows, it can start a...
Our live read for REU is trim your trees to 5 feet and do other things to try and mitigate if a fire comes.
And if there's a tree that's near your line, even the line that comes toward your house, near your house, call. Let us come look at it.
I've got one. And up near our transmitter.
Yeah, if there's a tree that's going to be a problem for our community, we will take it out. So you just need to let us know.
Well, this is important, my friends. If you've got trees around you that could be a danger to the power lines, all you have to do is call REU.
Exactly.
And they're going to come out. It's not going to cost you anything.
Correct.
And they'll come out and trim those trees and to ensure your safety.
Yep. Valuable information shared today on KCNR. Thank you so much, Dan Beans, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to have Dan on about every other month. Yep. And, be, you know, to come in and give us the latest about what's happening, you know, as things do happen, things are always moving quickly in the energy field. I think next time I'd like to, you know, we could spend some time talking about how the fluctuation of energy prices, how you buy, how you sell,
okay,
and how intricate a plan is. Because a lot of people have their opinions about it, but not all the information is there, if you understand what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
You must be, yeah, because, oh, well, we take this, we buy it here, and we sell it there, we lose money. I'm not too sure. Anyway, okay, Dan, thank you so much for being here today and what you all do.
Thank you both for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, everybody, have a great day, and stay cool out there. Remember, it's the